We're going to focus primarily on verses 6 and 7. And I want to look with you at three themes taken from verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2. Let's read them again. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Paul says to them, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus. We've been thinking about receiving gifts. We were thinking at the start about the gift from God. So there's something about receiving Christ Jesus. He wants to remind them about that. And then he wants to remind them about important things that they can do to continue to live in him, to be rooted and built up in him, and to be strengthened in their faith. And then finishes with this lovely expression of abounding or overflowing with thankfulness. And so if you like headings, they're back to the beginning. Consolidate what you have and be thankful. Back to the beginning, consolidate what you have and be thankful. It can be very useful and helpful to be reminded of our beginnings, of how things started. What were the significant factors in our lives? Particularly spiritual milestones that God has worked in our lives to change us. I'm sure most of you know the musical Sound of Music, in which Maria tries to teach the children in her charge how to sing. At the beginning of her music lesson, she says, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. When you read, you begin with ABC. When you sing, you begin with Do, Re, Mi. Paul takes the Colossians back to the beginning, back to basics. And he says it in a way that's so simple we could very easily miss it. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. The Greek for receive means to accept, to take delivery of, to make your own. Just as, I'm not sure the name of the young man at the front said, you've got to take it. You received Christ Jesus as Lord. We all know what it's like to receive something. Cards, good wishes, friendship, Amazon deliveries, whatever they may be. But when you're given something, you have to actively receive it. You have to take it for yourself. And coming to faith in Christ is an act of conscious commitment as we take Jesus Christ into our life as Messiah and Lord. Salvation is a gift that is received by faith. And Paul is reminding the Colossians that that's what they had done. This message of the gospel was something they had received right at the very start. And that Jesus Christ had done everything necessary for their salvation. It's very easy to gloss over receiving. Everyone in this room has many things in common, but all of us have one thing in common, that we have a birthday. Think of that birthday cake that's made specially for you. Not from main bakeries, but from somebody in your house who's made it specially for you, uniquely for you. Imagine your pastor getting a birthday cake with "Happy birthday, Gareth." Oops, birthday cake for the wrong brother. Not quite the unique present you're expecting. But receiving Christ as a gift is a gift with your name on it, prepared by someone else, paid for by someone else, for you. But it must be received by you. You've got to take it for yourself. And Paul reminds the Colossians, you did that. Remember, at the start you received, you took Jesus Christ, the salvation that he offered, for yourself. But he says a bit more than that. He doesn't just say you received. He says you received Christ Jesus the Lord. And what a lot there is in that simple little expression. They received Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the promised deliverer from the Old Testament, the person who fulfilled all those prophecies that they would have known about. So they were receiving someone who had been promised many years previously. They received him as the historical person rooted in the mystery of the incarnation. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They had received something very, very special. And then he says, received Christ Jesus the Lord. The use of that word, the use of that expression, is the central confession of Christian faith. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the book of Acts tells us a lot about the life of the early church. And it's interesting, when you look through the book of Acts, you see the word Savior is mentioned twice. Lord is mentioned 92 times. Lord Jesus 13 times, Lord Jesus Christ 16 times, 111 times in the life of the early church, they're talking about Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Master. So Paul is reminding the Colossians, look, when you got started, you received Jesus Christ. You recognized him as Messiah, the one who'd been promised. You recognized him as the one who was born as a baby. You recognized him as Lord. What a beginning. You had an incredible beginning. And by faith, they had entered into a life of faith. What a start. Now, we sometimes talk about someone getting a good start in life. And I don't know how you would define a good start in life. We sometimes refer to a great inheritance, or we use an expression, a silver spoon in their mouth. I'm not quite sure whether I want a silver spoon in my mouth, but it's an expression we sometimes use. Someone being highly skilled, having the right connections. See, the start in life that really matters is not your new school, or your new job, or your new status as an employee or an employer, or your new care package, or whatever it is. The start that really matters is the start that got the Colossians off on the right way to have received Jesus Christ as Lord. So beginning was important. So Paul reminds these people who are struggling a bit, remember how you started. Go back to the beginning, and you had a fantastic start. But then he goes on to say, well, let's consolidate a bit. Let's look at what else you should be doing. Last August, I don't know how many of you here are Ballymena United fans, but if you are, you'll know that last August, David Jeffrey said, and I quote, "The league for me has always been bread and butter. But I've said to the players, can we in the first instant consolidate? Because that is vitally important." We know what it means to consolidate, to build on what we have. And that's what Paul was really saying to them. Look, you've made a good start. Build on it. Consolidate what you have. And he reminds them of a number of things. He reminds them to be rooted in him, to be built up in him. Every so often, I would take a dander around a garden center and I would look at some shriveled, wizened plant and think, I could do something with that. And I spent my few pence and buy something that the garden center doesn't want. And with compost and fertilizer and stakes and shelter and a bit of attention, usually I make something of them. I provided them with the source of life, with power for growth, with stability and shelter in stormy times. That's not very different from what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. He is the source of our life. He gives us power. He gives us stability. He gives us shelter in difficult times when we're rooted and built. How do we put down roots in Christ? What does that mean? How do we deepen our relationship with him? I'm not going to embarrass anyone today, but it's worth taking a moment's quiet reflection and think of a time when you recently have had a real sense of being nourished by the Holy Spirit working in your life. Perhaps as you heard God's word read at the start of our service, perhaps at home this morning before you came out, perhaps last week, times when you've said, thank you, Lord, when you've been challenged by something you've read. We sang about that in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk, and the psalm went on to say what his delight was. The psalmist's delight was a person whose focus was not on sin and wrongdoing, but on the word of God. He delighted in the Word of God. He made a conscious effort to read the Word of God. He meditated on the Word of God. He reread the Word of God. Sometimes we can read God's Word and we don't really savour it. I like to read, you won't be surprised, the Covenant or Witness, but also the Messenger magazine. And one of the nice things about reading articles in those is, for example, if you know someone who's written it. I'm sorry for picking on Helen, but whenever I read an article that Helen has written, because I have met Helen before and know Helen, you read something with that greater interest. Or in the series by Knox Heinemann, who's, as you know, should have been here this morning. When I read those articles, I read it with much greater interest. The same's true with scriptures. It's not just a dry book. You're reading what God Almighty has provided for us to read. You savour his words. It's not just reading as you read a textbook in school. And so we become men and women of the world. The psalmist became a man and woman of the word. But we're reminded here in the psalmist that whatever we do prospers. Now that reminds us that as by being people of the word of God, are we having a spiritual influence on others? Mums and dads, boys and girls, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, elders, deacons, anybody, everybody. Do other people prosper spiritually because you are a man or woman, boy or girl, of the word of God? Does God's word so affect your life and so affect my life that in turn God can use you and me to help others to prosper spiritually? As Christians, we need to deepen our relationship with God by putting down roots. And the way to that is to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just learning facts about him, but taking time to read his word and to meditate and to pray together. I wonder if there was such a thing as spiritual Weight Watchers. I'm not making any implications about anybody in the room. If there was such a thing as spiritual Weight Watchers, the goal would be, of course, to put on weight every time you would go, not to see if you'd lost any. Part of being of consolidating is putting on spiritual weight. But also, then, there's Paul uses another word, another expression, writing to these Colossians, rooted and grounded, and says being established. Part of consolidating is being established. My son's father-in-law has a well-established farm. Some of you would have gone to well-established schools that have a long history. Kalibaki has well-established health centres. You know what it means to have things that are well-established. Something that's well-established is something you can rely on, something you can trust, something you can be confident in. Paul's writing to the Colossians, walk in him, root in him, rooted in him, be built up in him, and be established. Be people that can be trusted and can be relied on. Key feature of being established is the experiences you can draw on. And we read from Joshua 23, he was able to draw on all those experiences of his life of how the great things God had done. Young Christian here, some of the boys and girls at the front, you can look back on last year and recall God working with you and for you and before you. Those of us who are a bit older maybe can look back to 2007 or 1997 or 1987 or 1947 or maybe 1937. Look back when God has worked in your life and helped to consolidate you. Being established in our faith is so essential when trials and anxiety comes, as was happening to the Colossians. They were in danger. But Paul was saying, remember, if you're consolidating in your faith, if you're rooted in Christ, built up in him, you will be strong in that. An American preacher, Dr. Donald Barnhouse, many years ago, was walking on the barren, dead land of Mons, the site of such awful battles way back in the First World War. The land had signs of retreat, abandoned tanks, sadly skeletons of the troops. It was spring. It was calm. And the leaves were falling off the trees. It wasn't autumn. There was no wind. And he wondered, why are the leaves falling off the trees in spring? And then he realized what was happening, that the buds on the trees were pushing the old leaves out, and reminded him of a sermon he'd heard some years previously called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. The expulsive power of a new affection. In other words, something new coming into our life can start to push other things out. And that's what was happening in the Colossians. There was the danger of these new things pushing out the old things which they knew to be true. Now, Christian friend, you know that you're being established in your faith when the temptation to sin is pushed out by the Holy Spirit working within you. Our resolutions, our willpower, our best intentions aren't enough to push out sin. It's the Holy Spirit working within us. And sadly today, in 2018, and certainly for most part of the 21st century, New Age teaching is for many people the expulsive power of a new affection. We need to be on our guard, because the errors of the 21st century are different errors from the ones the Colossians were facing. But they are real errors, and they're serious errors, and they're difficult to deal with. We need to be aware of these and to beware them as well. The modern philosophies aren't so much denying Christ. They're more subtle. They're trivializing Christ. They're sidelining him. So what? It doesn't really matter. They're providing modern substitutes. I was shocked on one occasion when a good friend, a capable friend, when my daughter was quite seriously ill, gave me a crystal to help her. She trusted in a little crystal on a lovely silver necklace. This person, intelligent, capable lady, but she believed this, did not believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. New things were pushing out the old. And for many in the 21st century, it's Christ plus. And that's exactly what the Colossians were facing. They were being told, the faith you have needs something else. And Paul was saying, no, it doesn't. Not in the slightest. So Paul's exhortation to the Colossians to be established and strengthened and consolidated was as relevant to them then as it is to you and to me now in 2018. But remember, you can't consolidate a relationship if you're not in one. There's no way you can build up a relationship with someone if you don't actually have that relationship. That's stating the obvious. We can't consolidate our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't have that relationship with him, if we haven't received him as Jesus Christ as Lord. For me, my start in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was very dramatic. I'm very thankful it was dramatic. It was a sudden and massive change in my life as a late teenager. It started 52 years ago in 1966. That's when my growth started. My consolidation came as I learned the truths of Scripture. And as those who know me know, I'm still a work in progress and will continue to be a work in progress all the days that God gives me. See, Paul goes on then to follow these verses with this doctrinal treasure chest from verses 9 onwards. Important things to remember. So consolidation, learning the truths of Scripture, understanding the truths of Scripture is not a dry, academic, boring. It's actually very warm and personal. When we think of the great doctrine of adoption, what does it mean in simple terms? It means we are deeply loved. The great doctrine of justification by faith. It means we are accepted by God. We read about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That means we have company. We have someone with us everywhere we go in every situation. So beginning was important. Consolidating was important. And finally and briefly, the final thing that Paul reminds them is abound in thanksgiving. Be thankful. Remember how you started. Consolidate what you have and be thankful. Now, thankfulness is often said to reflect our nature. We're either a positive person or we're not. Our glass is half full or it's half empty. Paul's not telling the Colossian Christians to be positive, half full glass Christians. See, what really matters isn't whether your glass is half full or whether it's half empty. What really matters is what's in the glass in the first place. And Paul has been reminding them what's in their glass. He's reminding them of what they have. As you received Christ, be thankful. As you walk in Christ, be thankful. As you're rooted in Christ, be thankful. As you're established in Christ, be thankful. Conscious, deliberate, determined action to be thankful, to honor God and to recognize all his benefits. But it's not just to be thankful. The word he uses is abounding, or translated in other versions, which I prefer, to overflow with thankfulness. To overflow with thankfulness. Yesterday afternoon, I was working on the Carnini Road when I got a text from Knox Hindman to say he was still in bed and I would have to come here this morning, fixing an overflow in my daughter's house. The water was flowing out of a pipe on the wall of the side of her house. Nothing which apparently was... It's now fixed. It doesn't matter what. But the overflow could only keep on flowing if the cistern kept on being filled. And Paul is saying, overflow with thankfulness, not just in dribs and drabs, but make sure you're being filled so that you can express your thankfulness. Constantly filling yourself with thankfulness for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your life. So Paul was telling these Colossians, yeah, remember how you started. Consolidate what you have and be thankful. That seems a bit strange. Why would you be thankful to be in a difficult situation? Why would you be thankful to be under these pressures? This doesn't seem quite right. Thankfulness doesn't seem to be an appropriate weapon in the face of spiritual attack. Thankfulness seems to be a weak weapon. We're reminded in scriptures, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Not like a spider or a mouse, a roaring lion. Thankfulness doesn't seem to be strong. Thankfulness seems to be a fairly simple weapon. And yet we're told that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. But actually, when you think through it and think beyond it, in the battle against today's false doctrines, strong, growing, thankful Christians are not easily enticed away. They're not easily deceived. If you have a spirit of thankfulness to your God for all that he has done in your life, you will not be easily deceived. You will not be easily enticed by other strange doctrines. You will, in fact, be a strong person. Develop and cultivate the spirit of thankfulness that is overflowing. Actually, thanklessness suggests a spiritual weakness and a spiritual deficiency, a shortcoming, which is actually a seedbed in which the weeds of false doctrine can easily take root. You see, facing attack, when someone's under pressure, an unthankful person has nothing to fall back on. Whereas a thankful person knows what God has done for them in the past and knows what he has promised to do for them in the future and strengthens their relationship whenever difficult times come. And so Paul writes to a group of people in Colossae who are worried, who are unsure, who are being pressurized in all sorts of different ways. And he said, remember how you started. Remember to consolidate what you have and have a spirit of thanksgiving. And as we close, Spurgeon summarized these two verses, something a lot shorter than I've done this morning, when he said the following: begin as you mean to go on as you began, and rejoice that the Lord is all and all to you.